Hey there, everyone. It's Donna Fox, and you are listening to Akashic Wisdom. We are going out on Station 1 and Station 2. We're very happy to do that. We're welcoming all listeners to our program this evening. What I want to tell you is that means that if we are on Station 1 and Station 2, we have an even greater opportunity to receive your calls this evening. We want to also say a great hello to some folks in Columbus. We just finished a Level 1 workshop in Columbus, Ohio. So we want to say hello to our dear friend Anita Miller, who has been so instrumental in this work. We also want to say hello to Peggy, to Robert, to Amy, to Deb, and to Kim. And we want to just say thank you for your light, your love, and participating, and your help. So this is exciting. We're going to Louisville next week and Cleveland after that. So anyway, without further ado, I'd like to introduce you to my friend and student, Nikki Lopresti. And Nikki has been on for the last few weeks. And what we do is we come up with questions. Actually, I don't come up with the questions. What happens is Nikki goes into her records, and in service to you, the listener, she comes up with questions that would best help everyone in the here and now out there. And then, because I don't know what the questions are ahead of time, I have opened up the Akashic records, and of not only the show, but just of the show and to be able to be of service to the listeners. So then she asks me questions, and we get into a great discussion, and then we hope you, as listeners, will call in and add to that discussion or ask another question. And so we are talking about the Akashic Records this evening. And for those of you who are just tuning in, the Akashic Records are the energetic recording of your soul's journey over every lifetime, so that every thought, word, and deed are registered in the Akasha, including your soul's intention for this lifetime. So we want to say hello and welcome to all of you, and hello and welcome to Nikki. Hi, Nikki.
Hi, Donna.
How are you? Nikki was at the workshop also, and we just drove in from Columbus, Ohio. We're now back in Cleveland, Ohio. And so, you know, it was kind of a quick turnaround. Did you come up with some questions for tonight?
Oh, we'll see.
We will, won't we? Absolutely. Just as a comment, folks, if you are interested in emailing me the questions, you can email me at info@akashicwisdom.com. So what are we talking about tonight, Nikki?
Well, first of all, did we already give the numbers if somebody...
No, I don't have them in front of me. I'm actually calendarless. I don't know where I packed it on our way back from Columbus.
Okay.
So I need dates from you and telephone numbers. So if you would like to give those,
well,
that'd be great.
Let's do that. Give me 1 minute here, everyone, and we'll get you numbers so that you can call in if you're interested. If you have a question in mind as we're discussing that comes up from anything we're discussing, do feel free to give us a call in. And in 1 second, I'll get those numbers to you. Donna, maybe for a moment, though, if you could, I thought it might be interesting, I don't know if you've discussed in a while, in how information is brought forth from the record keepers.
Oh,
when
that's
someone
great.
Asks
sure.
A question.
Say again?
Yeah, when someone asks a question, so people get an idea, they understand how the information is brought forth.
Sure. Well, what I have learned and what I teach I've learned from Mary Parker and Elena Lieberman, who are founding members, as I am, of an organization called Akashic Record Consultants International. And Mary Parker has spread this technology and this methodology across the world. And what we do is we access the Akashic Records consciously. So we're not in trance. We're not channeling. We are receiving the information from the masters, teachers, and loved ones via a holy prayer. And the prayer itself is a vibrational key that shifts the energy to make the information accessible. And so what we do is after the prayer is said, if I'm working with a client, I would say, okay, your records are open. What would you like to know? And at that point, the person asks their first question, which is what we're going to do tonight. And the way the information comes forward is it comes forward in thought form, words, pictures, stream of consciousness, knowing. And so what happens is as this information comes forward, I don't interpret anything. I tell you exactly what I see, hear, or sometimes feel. It is never interpreted. And my background here is I've been working with the Akashic Records for 11 years, and I am a certified Akashic Record teacher from Akashic Record Consultants International, and you can find them on the website of www.arc-akashicrecords.org. So when you call in, we would like you to ask questions that would be of interest to all the folks out there. And those the only question I ask you to temper or refrain from asking is, what's my purpose? Not because that's not an interesting question to you, because you as a listener, I know that many people want to know what their purpose is, and that's a very legitimate question. But that's a question that should remain private, and in the fact that it should be something that we do on an individual basis during a telephone consultation, or if I'm in and around your city, you can do it in a face-to-face consultation. So we want to keep the questions global, or if you have patterns that you want to understand why certain patterns are in your life or why certain things keep coming to you in your life, you want to be able to you want to be able to really get the word out in the fact of you want to understand what the blocks are or what actions you can take to feel, let's say, better or to release those blocks. And so we can answer those kinds of questions on the show tonight. But we would like you to ask, and because many people will have those same kinds of issues, and that could really help all the listeners.
Okay,
so I hope did I answer your question? Probably way more than you thought I should, the listeners wanted to know.
No, that was helpful for everyone, I'm sure, to understand about framing the question. So
Great. If
you're interested in a question, if one pops into your head and when you'd like to call in, please give us a call. Toll free in the U.S. at 877-876-5227. And another line also toll free in U.S. and Canada. That number would be 888-815-9756. And there is also a direct line at 530-876-3222.
Okay.
So if anybody would like to call in, go right ahead. Donna, to start off with this evening, I thought we could look at the question of what is important for everyone here on the planet to understand about perceived failings, how they feel somehow they've failed in their life, and what does this do to them when they consider that they have failed?
Say again. Okay, now say that one more time.
Okay. Let's see. I'm trying to understand about the, about what perceived, when someone is thinking that they, or having the feeling that they have failed in their life.
Okay.
Or that they are failing at something.
Uh-huh.
That what does this do to them, or what do we as humans need to understand from the Akasha about our perceived failings?
Oh, about the concept of failure.
About the concept of failure, yeah.
Okay, got that. All right. That's a great question. Absolutely great question. All right. Let's see what the Akasha has to say about that. Well, what's important to understand about failure or the perception of failure is that it doesn't exist. It doesn't exist because no matter what you are doing or what you have done, it ends, it in essence is another choice on the wheel of probability or possibility. And so what that means is all those choices that you've made in the past, if you could see that they are all connected to the essence of experience that your soul actually chose to have in this lifetime, you can move into a place of different knowing and different choosing in a moment. And so the idea here of failure is it's so deep. It's so ingrained as a belief system that it is actually a concept that controls the fiber of the being of the species of human in certain cultures. There are some cultures on planet Earth that do not understand the concept of failure. There is no word in their language for failure. However, the Anglo-Saxons, the culture of the United States, has it's actually made quite a big business on the concept of failure, or actually it's made a big business on the fear of failure. And the fear of failure is what drives many Americans and Europeans in the way they make their choices. And the fear of failure is what drives people actually to move against their own personal knowing and away from their own personal truth. Because the fear of failure is so great, it creates a lack of trust of self. And the lack of trust of self is what is fueling the people's or humanity's unhappiness, because they aren't living their truth, they're not standing in their truth, they're not living their bliss, if you will. And it all starts with the concept of the fear of failure. So ask some more questions about that, because this is big.
Okay, let's see. Why do we have some cultures, like our culture in the United States, that this is ingrained in us, and some cultures aren't? Why this hasn't been?
For example, Americans choose failure? Oh, I see. No, it's a different question. The question is. The question is how does the concept of failure serve the culture? Do you understand? So, that, for example, so the American culture.
Okay.
Well, the reason that it's because it's an individual choice as to where to come, whether or not a human's going to incarnate, a person's a soul is going to incarnate into an American family, European family, Asian family, etc. So it's talking about because you wanted to know why someone would choose that. Is that what you asked?
No, I just wondered why certain cultures, or how it got to be that this was ingrained. You said it was ingrained in certain cultures, like in,
right.
then in some areas, and in some areas that it didn't.
Well, it had. All right. It has. The idea here is that the, again, it manifested from. It manifested from a belief system that was created by the story of Adam and Eve. Is there a caller on the line? I just wanna, no, good. Okay. Nikki, you still there?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the idea here is for the soul that incarnated into the belief system that embraced the myth of the story of Adam and Eve, that would serve them in their on their journey based on their soul's experience. That's why they would choose it. In other words, like it has to do with their soul's experience. See, what's important to understand is as we incarnate in many different cultures. It's not just one culture. You know, we don't stay just Americans or Europeans or Italians or Germans or Hungarians. In other words, we choose different cultural basis based on our soul's intention of experience. I somehow feel that that's not what you wanted to know.
I'll see if another question comes up and
okay.
another way that I can ask.
Yeah, and if there's somebody, else wants, hello, is somebody there?
No.
Hello?
I don't think so.
Oh, I could have sworn I heard somebody say hello. Sorry. Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So how can, I guess, for our, is there another way that they can explain maybe further in these other cultures that don't hold this belief system, how they operate, how they perceive these choices or possibilities in life?
So okay, sure. Absolutely. The other cultures, and many of the cultures are actually on the continent of Africa, and they're more primitive cultures, the ones that have not been industrialized, actually, that really work more from a natural point of view. In other words, like they're more for primitive societies. They haven't been,
Exposed to outside thought.
I'm sorry?
Exposed to outside thought.
Exactly. What happens with these folks is that the idea of failure doesn't exist because as far as they're concerned, they have, their concept is more of a natural go with the flow. So, for example, when a hunter goes after an animal for the kill and misses, he doesn't feel as if he's failed. He just it's really more of an opportunity to learn more. At the same time, if the hunter kills the animal hasn't failed to run fast enough. The animal has given itself to the people for nourishment. So the idea here is it's really more about choice of experience and moving into the flow of life rather than focusing on what has not happened. They're very much more in the now. They don't necessarily worry about the past or even the future. It's really more of a survival of the now. And so that's how they operate. And if in fact we Americans, for example, or Judeo-Christian folks were to look at the here and now on a more consistent basis, failure would be less of a focus. Because we would be focusing on choice rather than what works and what doesn't work. Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the idea of failure, it serves us. The idea of failure serves us because it allows us to move into a constriction that we then have to move out of. I know that sounds like a game, but that's exactly what it is. And fear of failure is a huge driving force, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, the question we posed, either it was last week or another week, was, what would your life be like if you knew you couldn't fail? Because then the idea of comes up, you know, the fear of making the wrong choice or being in the wrong place at the wrong time, and that just it just piles a whole lot of stuff on top of it, and we very much end up feeling like a mushroom, you know, lots of dark dirt on top of us, you know.
I'm wondering if this. Somewhat tied into this idea, though, would be our concept here of what is justice.
What is justice? Are you asking the record keepers to explain the concept of justice?
I'm
the need for it?
I'm wondering if if it's tied into that people, you know, perceived failings, and that they have then the feeling that comes that they have these wrongs to right.
Oh, I see. So they want to balance it out.
I mean, that's what I'm kind of wondering, if that's all tied in.
Well, yeah, it is. See, the interesting thing about it is that the idea of doing something wrong and justice is actually what has fueled the idea of reincarnation. It's like, I didn't do it right in the last lifetime, I got to come back and do it right in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of a different subject, but and again, that's not necessarily the way it is. I mean, there's different ways of explaining that, but the idea of there are people who feel that they have failed. And are really invested in the concept of accepting that failure, will feel much more justified by not really moving themselves into a place of receiving. It creates a whole atmosphere of lack of self-worth. I mean, that seems obvious. I mean, that's a kind of an obvious statement, but for example, a little kid doesn't understand failure. When we're born into this life, and we are babies, failure is not a part of our conceptual notion. You know, in other words, like, you wouldn't, you know, a child doesn't even understand the concept of wrong for a long time until the parent really barrels it in. And so the idea is that we learn about failure, and it gets ingrained from the time we're children, and the need to please is also around the fear of failing. Whereas in some cultures, the child can do no wrong, and they're guided into experiences that feel good, rather than made to feel that they're wrong, you see. I mean, think about when children are raised. You know, the first word they actually hear once they start moving around or walking is no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, clearly parents say no to their children more times than they ever say yes. And yes, they say no because they're quote-unquote trying to protect them. But the reality is, saying no is just a form, in other words, like, rather than getting up and moving the child and guiding them into something that would be more healthy, the parent yells no. I'm sure you've seen that happen. I know I did it and I'm guilty of that. I did that as a parent myself. And that's where the beginning of feeling like you're failing begins. It's at that early age. That's very interesting. I'd like to actually move the subject matter, but what I'd like to do with this question is explore it offline or off the air where the depth can come forward and there won't be a lot of dead air as the information shows up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Sometimes it takes a while
it's pretty
for
deep.
Information
I'm sorry?
To come up. I'm explaining to the listeners that sometimes it takes a while for, as we go on deeper levels, sometimes it takes a while for the information to come forward from the record keeper.
Right. It's because it's vibrational.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea here is that if you hear me stop and start the words because I'm repeating what they're saying, and because this particular subject can be extremely charged, it carries a very an interesting vibration that needs to be almost moved over so that the underlying information can come forward.
Okay.
Very interesting.
And so once again, if any listeners out there would like to call in with any of their questions, I will remind you of our call-in numbers once again. Call toll-free at 877-876-5227 in the U.S. In the U.S. and Canada, you can call 888-815-9756. And if one of those lines are busy, you can call 530-876-3222 and call direct.
I'm sorry?
Go on.
No. I didn't want to interrupt you.
I was done.
Okay. And would you also tell our listeners the next time we have level ones and where they're going to be?
Okay. Well, coming up next weekend, Donna will be in Louisville, and next weekend that would be the 26th and 27th of January, and then the following weekend, the Saturday and Sunday, Donna will be here having a level one class in Cleveland, February 2nd and 3rd.
Right, and there's also an introductory lecture on, I want to say it's January 24th. That makes, yeah, that's a Thursday, right?
The Thursday before, right.
Right, and so for anyone who would like to attend that introductory lecture who lives in and around the Louisville area, you need to just give me a call personally and I can give you that information. And my personal telephone number is 216-691-1233. You can also call that number if you'd like to schedule your own telephone consultation. So just want to give you that information, and or you can email me at info@akashicwisdom.com. There you go.
Right, and if anybody out there listening would like to email in a question, you can email at that same address.
Yep, that's right, absolutely.
Okay, well, to go in another direction,
right?
I think we were discussing this off the air one time, but I thought it might be interesting. There's been studies done that there's no reason or that there should be in the human body, mm-hmm. as it exists and as cells are still dividing, it doesn't. There's really no scientific proof that there should be an aging process that occurs.
Mm-hmm.
They've had certain studies, and there are some cultures, you know, we have that people live much longer than others. And
right.
So I'm wondering about what causes the human aging process. What can we understand about the human aging process and or the decline of certain systems? Why, you know, some people believe that this will occur and others don't.
That's interesting. Okay, so what we want is information as to what creates the aging process, the truth of what creates the aging process. Interesting. In the human species.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's interesting is what they're talking about here is that the thought forms and the consciousness of finite and infinite have shifted over the centuries and have again become they're saying that self-fulfilling prophecy, but it's really more of a belief system that actually has become and created a morphogenic field of consciousness. So the aging process of humanity or of a human. Each age group has certain expectations or lack thereof of fulfillment. So, for example, you know, as a child grows from that, there's typical times where it's expected that they're to walk. It's expected that they will talk based on the morphogenic field of the majority or of what the scientists will say, the ability of the body to do certain things.
Can you define morphogenic field, please?
Sure. The morphogenic field, and I don't think I'm saying it right because I'm tired, but is a field of the vibrational field that holds the vibrations of thought and actions and knowing. So morphogenic fields are held in a variety, hold belief systems. So the belief system is humans get older. You get to a certain age and the body starts to decline. And so for those people who are within that field of, and have adopted that field of their knowing, they don't even, it's not even a conscious effort. They're just a part of it. It's almost like they move into it and their bodies respond to the vibration of thought and expectation of that age group. And that is why that, however, as we are becoming more and more aware, there are more and more humans that are actually moving out of the expectation of getting older, and they're moving their lifespan to a different level and different vibration. Some will tell you because they're starting to eat healthy and they eat raw, or they eat organic, etc. But those are also the same type of fields of thought. Mm-hmm. You see. It's the idea that if they expect that if I eat organic or I eat raw, I'm going to be healthier, and therefore I'm going to live longer, I'm going to have more energy, et cetera, and those thought forms will be then backed up by, for example, scientific data. But the reality is, scientific data can prove anything you want it to prove. It has nothing to do sometimes, most of the times, with reality. It has to do with what is appropriate to be proven at this time. So the idea here is that humans move into a field, a belief field. And that field is what governs exactly their ability to handle things. So, for example, there's a concept that science has told everyone that fat people are going to die earlier because it's bad on their bodies, and they will have all sorts of things that will prove it. Yet there are some heavy people who don't fit any of that, you know, and some people say, oh, well, it's just their genes, or it could be that they have just not bought into that field of thought.
Well, if you want to take that down onto a smaller level, if you want to look at within families,
uh-huh,
how when people want to talk about your genetics and how predisposed you are to certain diseases and things like that, but you have certain family members that will get things and certain family members that don't.
That's right. That's right. And because
and so
some people
the record keepers are saying, though, but it's really more if you are going to believe a thought system or you're not going to believe a thought system.
Right. And but you have to understand, when it comes to old age, the majority of humans have been exposed to that vibrational thought system. Even if they're not conscious of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's an unconscious truth with them. I mean, it just is. And in order to shift that, one must really be very proactive and use like subliminal audio tapes or CDs, move into their own personal vibration of a different knowing. I mean, it can be shifted because the human body is actually designed never to really wear out.
Right.
It just keeps regenerating itself. So the only reason that a person has old age is because that's their thought form, because we've bought into it, it also happens. An interesting piece also happens from a psychological point of view. What I'm hearing is that as a human gets older, and everyone they know starts leaving the planet, they become lonely because it's harder and harder for them to find people like of like-mindedness for them to move and to be with. And so the idea of the human interaction, as it diminishes, creates a lesser desire to be physical and more of a desire to go home. So that's...
So it has to do also somewhat with, so you're saying it's kind of like a sense of loss.
Yeah, it's a grief.
Mm-hmm.
When a spouse, they have a husband and wife that have been together forever, you know, for 50, 60 years, and one passes, it's not at all unusual for that other spouse, you know, to pass within weeks, days, months of that spouse because they just don't know, they don't want to be here anymore. See, that's the piece that's really important for people to understand, is that a person's time on this planet is not predicated on the body wearing out or illness or even grief. It has to do with the desire to be here. For a person can literally leave the planet anytime they want if that desire is strong enough. Without disease, without accidents, they don't have to stay. People don't realize that. Not that I'm advocating anyone leaving the planet. I'm saying is the idea here is when people want the out card, the assumption is that they have to get sick to do it, and that's not true. We have way more control than we realize. The same way, if you want to stay, and it's within your contract to stay, you're going to stay. You have that option. Everyone has the option to stay here longer than they want. Contracts can be changed.
Okay, well, on another subject, yet another subject this evening. When I was wondering, I don't know if we've covered this before, but when I'm trying to understand in the dream process of humans, when a lot of time people are getting messages from their subconscious mind, it said, and then are they also pulling information from the Akashic field in their dreams?
Great question. The idea of traveling in your dreams to other dimensions other places, this is interesting, other dimensions and other places of vibratory thought, when a body is sleeping, is absolutely true. And so when a person is sleeping, they may in fact move back into the Akasha to either do their work, to gather information, to meet with friends, to adjust their contract, create manifestations. In other words, like during dream time, the body is in a multidimensional state, and literally the consciousness is free to move and roam wherever it chooses, because it's not tied with the constriction of having to be conscious it can move back into the consciousness of the all and receive information on a much deeper level. That's why some people don't remember their dreams, because they're out there, if you will, flying around and gathering information, and they'll wake up tired because they've downloaded so much from a vibrational point of view that they wake up and they seem like they're tired, not all the time that's not the reason, but in many cases that is the reason. So the answer is a simple answer would be yes.
Okay. All right, well, once again, if anybody's interested in asking any further questions about anything that we've brought up here this evening, those numbers to call in are toll-free at 877-876-5227 in the U.S. or 888-815-9756 in USA and Canada, or the direct line 530-876-3222.
Right. And we are broadcasting on bbsradio.com. Want to talk a little bit about the I've got some teleconferences coming up, and you experienced one of those yourself. I have some teleconferences, and I call them teleseminars. On January 29th, is this first time I'm offering it in this venue? Is I'm offering a teleseries. On marketing your holistic business as a practitioner, or if you are considering having a holistic business or any type of business, actually, but it's really geared for the holistic practitioner and how to network and how to expand your business. That's going to be for 6 weeks, starting on the 29th of January. And on the 30th, we are going to do the Prosperity Workshop again. We're Prosperity Teleseminar series, and you had experience with that, Nikki. How'd that work for you? How'd you like that?
I really liked it, Donna.
Why is that?
Everyone, well, it was a great group of people that we got to share our ideas. It was really asking you to really look at what beliefs you hold, what beliefs you've kind of subconsciously just taken on from your family regarding prosperity, regarding giving and receiving and worthiness. And it was really, really interesting. A lot of people were really realized that things that they hadn't even been really conscious of that really affected them, or how it colored their lives so much, how they viewed different things. And it was really interesting to look at, and we went through some various different exercises that Donna brings forward each week from the records of exercises to work on, and you know, some things that we wrote about or journaled about, and I think everybody really really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think they found a lot of benefit from it.
And
it was
really from week to week, we noticed when somebody, you know, just realized that and shifted how they were thinking about, you know, prosperity coming into their life or something like that. There were people that had really big turnarounds within that 6 week process.
Right. That's right. And based on what the record keepers have given me about the marketing your holistic business, the same thing's going to happen with that. That experience starting the 29th. So if this is of interest to folks, you can just email me. I'll be happy to email you some information, and we can certainly see how that goes. And it's not like hundreds of people. You know, I really like to have maybe 10 or 12 people at most in each one of these workshops or teleseminar series. So it's not like you're on the line with hundreds of people and they're all muting their phones, etc. This is very intimate, and it's a wonderful opportunity to have one-on-one work as well as discussion with some great folks. So give me an email if that's of interest to you, and I'll shoot you out some more information on how to sign up for that. So, yep. So what's your next question? We have about two more minutes here.
Oh, let's see if I have a little short question here that we could ask. Okay, well, with everything that's going on all around us in our world, really, what's a suggestion that the record keepers could give with connecting with peace in our day-to-day lives?
Oh, great question. Great question. Yeah, you know, we were at this wonderful artist studio that had this wonderful this memorial. We were talking about peace a lot this weekend. And one of the issues that humans so deeply want is they want to feel peace. They want to be peace. But the peace they actually skip over is the notion of that gratitude. The gratitude is what brings you to joy. And the joy will then bring you to peace. And the what you want to understand is that peace is not only attainable, it's maintainable. So it doesn't have to be fleeting. And so that when the peace starts within the individual, it permeates to every person they see on that day. They have the opportunity to actually shift the consciousness of everyone around them. Like, so if I feel peace, and I'm responding to people in my sphere of influence from a peaceful place, and they catch a hold of that peace, then they go ahead and spread it out to their folks, and so on and so on. And so what's important is that we, you know, there's a comment here that says we need to be the peace that we are looking for. I think Gandhi said something like that, didn't he?
We need to be the peace we want to see in the world.
Right.
Something to that effect.
Yeah, it is something to that effect. And that is so important, and that's so true. And the idea here is that, and the way one achieves that peace, is to move deep into gratitude and become very much aware of anything that takes us out of that gratitude, and notice how we ebb and flow with our environment rather than controlling our feelings within us. There was like people who allow the environment to dictate how they feel rather than choose their feelings, no matter what the environment, are the ones that are going to feel the most peaceful. So that would be the short answer on that one. I want to just make a comment. I had some responses for folks who wanted to for me to help them with their goals for 2008. Want to let you know that I'll be contacting you within the next week or two, so we can set up time so we can work on that individually. I want to thank you for those emails for people who wanted to set their goals for 2008. And I've been a little backed up, so I apologize if you haven't heard from me as yet. And so we are about to say goodnight. We've put another hour in here, Nikki.
All right, great.
And I want to thank you all for listening. Remember Lightspeed Learning at Lightspeed. It's lightspeed-learning.com. It's a great workshop, great information from Thomas and Jane Morton. Remember Akashic Record Consultants International at arc-akashicrecords.org. My website is akashicwisdom.com. My individual phone number is 216-691-1233. And if you'd like to talk to Nikki, what's your phone number, Nikki?
My phone number is 216-374-2906.
Great. We are available for individual consultations as well as Matrix Energetics work, and we would love to talk to you. So we want to wish you a wonderful week. We want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for all their wonderful healing information. And with that, we close the records of the Akashic Wisdom Internet Radio Show for this evening on January 20th, 2008, by saying amen, amen, amen. The records of the show are now closed, and if you would all join me in saying amen.
Amen.
Thanks, everyone. Talk to you next week from somewhere on the road from Kentucky. Okay, good night.
Bye-bye.